Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. Today is a very special day, mostly because I get to talk about one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Now, for any of you who were there a couple weeks ago for my Bible study, they might recognize this story that I'm about to tell all of you. So for those of you there, bear with me just for a couple of minutes. But it's a story of one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, Elijah. And this is very important, because we heard today, and actually read responsibly, one of the biggest stories of Elijah's life. And once again, there should be some context for this. You see, the story that we had today came straight after one of the greatest victories of Yahweh in the Old Testament. Elijah was just done defeating the prophets of Baal, completely and utterly humiliating them, and the entire people of Israel put them all to the sword. So you would think that this is a wonderful, joyous occasion, but it really isn't, because the very next chapter, he's on the run for his life. When looking at this story and thinking about it, it very much is weird for us. We are here looking at Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of God, in fact, so great that he was actually brought up into heaven. And yet, this is a story of Elijah's fear, of Elijah's doubt, of Elijah seemingly giving up. He wants to go and run away. He wants to run away from his responsibilities to God because he's afraid, because he's so worried he's going to die. He's worried about the retribution and the revenge of Jezebel and King Ahab. He is so distraught, he runs away from his duty as God's prophet and says, "I want to die." We then get to the crux of our text today, where an angel of the Lord comes to Elijah in a dream, and he says, "Rise, take, and eat." And there, sitting on stones, was a cake and a jug of water, there for Elijah to strengthen him on his journey to Mount Horeb. Now you might all be wondering why I'm starting off this sermon with talking about Elijah. We've been talking now, this will be the second week, about Jesus, as he's coming down from feeding the 5,000 men besides women and children, and the people wanting to get more bread. They want to be fed by Jesus. And Jesus, last week we heard them say that he is the bread of life. And today we heard even more about that, where he continually says that anyone who partakes of this bread has eternal life. It's such a wonderful message. It's such a clear message to the believers to be strengthened by this. But it's almost too good to believe. When talking about this text in Elijah a couple weeks ago in our Bible study with Lord of the Rings, we all focused on different themes that the movie was giving us that Tolkien himself derived from the Bible. Themes on hope, on fear, of corruption, and of despair. This particular story came when we were talking about fear. And I'm bringing this up now because we see that is where Elijah was coming from. He was coming from a place of fear. He was afraid for his own life. He was afraid of dying, afraid of the retribution and the revenge of the royals of his time. And so he fled. And the people of Jesus' time, the crowds that followed him, had that same fear. They were afraid. They didn't know when their next meal was going to come from. They were afraid because they were under Roman occupation, where the Roman soldiers could come into their homes, take their families away from them, or bring them up on trump charges of rebellion, constantly living in fear for generations. These people knew fear. Can you imagine then the hope that this crowd would have? They hear of this man in the wilderness speaking about the word of God. He is performing miracles. He is actually healing people. And they go to him. And can you imagine how wonderful it must have been for them to 5,000 men besides women and children all to sit down on a mountaintop and to be given bread, to be given fish, to be given actual food, something that they would take with them, that would nourish them, that would strengthen them. And then he disappears. And they would go and search for him again, because they think that maybe, finally, after so many years, so many generations of waiting, finally, our fears can be put to rest. Finally, we can have our Messiah who will come and rescue us from the Romans. This is something that they look forward to, something that they absolutely could not wait to have. So they go to find Jesus, and Jesus does not give them food, but gives them words and tells them that he is the bread of life, that he will give them eternal life. For their ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. And guess what? They died. Can you imagine the most shock on their faces? We get to see a little bit of this in the story. When Jesus was done saying these things, the crowd turned to one another and they said, "Well, isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? How can he say that he has come down from heaven?" And they did not believe. This is a very common theme in the Gospel of John, where Jesus, the Word made flesh, the bread of life, would speak real truth to the people of Israel, to a people who were afraid, to a people who wanted to be set free. And they hated him for it. It can be almost ironic then. I know in my life there have been times where I have been surrounded by so much anticipation and hope, and then for it not to go as I planned. We all have felt at that one time that, why isn't just God there? Why isn't he there helping us? Why isn't he doing something about our problems? These past 48 hours have been very interesting for me. I woke up on Friday and I discovered that there was a small little gas leak in my home. Not fun, but okay. I then got into a small fender bender on that same Friday. Fun 48 hours. And it comes in threes, and then my phone fell and was cracked. So things come in threes. The reason I'm telling you is this, though, because there was a profound moment I had where it's like, okay, God, anything else? You want to give me something else here? Come on, give me a break. Why can't you just help me for once? How come you just couldn't make the gas go away? How come you just couldn't magically fix my car? I'm sure anyone who's, we all been in a little accident one time, we've just wished, okay, God, can you just fix this right here for me so I don't have to go through the hassle of insurance and getting people? We've all had these thoughts. But then there's other thoughts of our lives when we think, okay, God, anything else? Can you help me out maybe just a little more? Yes, it's great. We come here on Sunday surrounded by our family and friends in Christ, hear his wonderful news, but when we go back out there into the real world, don't we want for something more? Don't we wish that God would actually just do something more? Something more tangible, something more physical, something that would just give us a little bit of hope, a little bit of reprieve from our day-to-day life, that it can be filled with so much woe and hardship. We want something more. In that way, we are no different from the crowds that followed after Jesus. wanting something more, wanting that food, wanting that martial victory, wanting something tangible, something real, something powerful. Maybe it is wanting an act of God. I'm sure the people, the crowds that followed Jesus, were looking for Jesus to deliver them a great victory, to show the mighty power of God, to rain fire and hail from heaven, to destroy their enemies. I mean, he did it in the Old Testament. Why not now? And in today's world, we have those same thoughts that come crossing our mind from time to time again. When we hear of all of the struggles and all the conflicts in throughout the entire world, we just can't say, why can't God just come down and just stop all of it? Maybe send a great sign just to stop all of this war, this fighting. Why can't God just give people who are hungry food? Why can't, instead of a famine happening, why can't he just make an abundance and growth so that no one would be hungry, but that all would have something to eat? Whether it is for things in our lives, hoping for a real, tangible solution, or maybe it is in the greater problems of the world. Too often, you, me, all Christians and all people want God to do something that they can see, that they can actually point to. And when this doesn't happen, there is anger, there is frustration, there can be bitterness, and there can even be doubt, unbelief, and sadness. The story of Elijah continues. We got part one today in the Old Testament reading. The second part is what happens after. Elijah, being filled with some bread and water, goes to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. While there, he is now stuck in a cave, wishing for death. He says that he is the only true prophet left in Israel. He feels alone. He feels battered, bruised, and broken. He wants something more, but he wishes for death. And so, in this weakness, God comes to him. But he does it in a way that is so unlikely, that even is different than any other time in the Old Testament. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But God was not in the wind. And after a wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a great fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Here we see where God truly comes and truly is there for his prophet and there for his people. He wasn't in a great wind that literally tore chunks out of the mountain. He wasn't in a giant earthquake that shattered the very foundations of this holy mountain. He wasn't in an all-consuming fire that was coming down and burning away everything. He was in a low whisper. He was in the most unlikely of things. We know this because Elijah wrapped his own head in a cloak because he was so filled with awe and fear of the Lord because of this low whisper. Because when the Lord came, the prophets of old had to wrap their faces so they would not be blinded by God's holy light. And so here is Elijah going to now the Lord, who he heard in a slow whisper. And the slow whisper is the word of God. And this is, we know, Christ. For John, in the beginning of his gospel, said the word, that low whisper, became flesh and dwelt among us. That low whisper that was there since the foundation of the world, that breathed into all creation, the same whisper that spoke to Elijah on the mountain of God, became man. The most unlikely thing possible for God to do, and yet he did it. He went then, this word made flesh, and spoke words. They weren't just words, though. They were powerful decrees and promises and teachings for his people. This word spoke many things. In the hearts of when people were angry, when they were filled with fear, when they were filled with so much doubt, this word spoke in a low whisper, "Be still and know that I am God." When the burdens of the world became too much even for his disciples, the word spoke to them. And he said in that same low whisper, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest." He spoke to those who had cares and worries in this world. He spoke to them, saying that they may cast all their anxieties on him because he loves them. He said, "Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Seek, and you will find." This word even promised his own body and blood for the world. In the most unlikely of ways, this word made flesh, this Jesus, would give up his own body and blood for the sake of the world, so that all who look upon him should not perish, but have eternal life. This word spoke promises that he would rise again. And so to give to those who believe in him the true, wonderful gift of a resurrection and life eternal. He promised that he would be with all who believed him to the very end of the age. He promised in that same low whisper that he would come again. This Jesus, this word promised that he would strengthen us each and every day. That he would give us his body and blood to take, to eat, and to drink, so that we may be filled with his power, with his word, so that we can look into this day, that we can go out from this place and know that God is still in control, to know that even amongst all of the craziness and all of the sadness of this world, that there is hope. That there is a God who puts to rest the fears of his people, who gives to those who believe in him true bread of life that is good for life eternal. That he gives us teaching that we may go out and even proclaim to everyone that this is a God who has come, who understands the burdens of this world, who understands the struggles that his people have and gives them true peace, who gives them true bread of life. He gave it to his prophet of old. For Elijah heard the word of God, was strengthened and emboldened. He went back down from that mountain. There he found a helper in the man named Elisha. God gave to him Elisha because he knew that Elijah was weary, that he needed help, and God provided. For the Lord listens to the pleas of his people, and he gives them what they need to be strengthened in him. As we begin this new school year that's coming up in a couple of weeks, as we begin a new chapter in many of our lives, Let us remember that it can be filled with fear, and that the day things of this world will come and try to break us down, try to get us mad and screaming with frustration. But that we know that there is a God who loves us, who came down not in a fire, not in an earthquake, not in some great, powerful natural disaster or some great sign of wonderment, but he did something completely and totally unexpected. He came to us in a low whisper, in his Son, who gives us the strength this day and every day to do his will and to walk in his ways, to the glory of his holy name. Amen.